Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It might be a bit of a stretch for some, but for those of us who remember old-fashioned hand pumps on a well, it is easy to recall how one had to prime the pump after a period of time. The older ones would lose their suction, so it was necessary to get some water and wet the rubber seal, and then, with lots of effort, it would catch and the water would flow once more. Today's interviews share this metaphor. First, I'm going to talk to the co-chairs of the Northumberland Economic Recovery Task Force, a committee of 65 officials and business people representing all sectors of the local economy. The group released its first recommendations recently. This will provide some significant insight into what is needed to prime the region's economy as it slowly adapts to the new reality. Next, I'm going to be talking to Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board Chairperson Diane Lloyd about the future of schools in Northumberland. The board recently released its accommodation plan, which addresses which facilities will remain open and those that will close. We also talk about the impact of the pandemic on teachers, parents, and kids, and we discuss what could potentially happen gearing up for the fall. I'm pumped. I hope you are too. So let's get started. County Economic Development Director Dan Borowick co-chairs the Northumberland Economic Recovery Task Force with Brendan Kaneen, a well-respected retired businessman. Together, they are working with representatives from the various sectors of the local economy to figure out what is needed to help business restart during the pandemic. It is not an easy task, and the stakes couldn't be higher. Three recommendations were released on June 5th for immediate action as the committee continues to work towards a major report to be done later this summer. Here is my conversation with Dan Borowick and Brendan Kaneen. I am so pleased today to welcome Dan Borowick, Director of Economic Development in Northumberland County, and Brendan Kaneen, a retired businessman and advisor to Firepower Capital. Both of these men are co-chairs of the Economic Recovery Task Force for Northumberland County. Welcome, gentlemen.
Morning.
Let me start with you, Dan. Why do we need an Economic Recovery Task Force?
Well, we need one to try and best determine what type of path we're going to go down. We have, you know, multiple component parts to the economy of Northumberland: ag, manufacturing, tourism, small business development, all integral to Northumberland's well-being. The impact of COVID has been such that each one of these sectors has been affected differently, and in turn, what we felt from this department's perspective is that this was a critical time to engage the private sector to tell us what they need. It's important to know, I guess, for this economic recovery task force, economic recovery plan, that this is not a committee of the council, but rather this is a private sector driven initiative. And my role primarily in this initiative is to provide the necessary capacity and supports to ensure that the recommendations coming forward can make their way through both, you know, municipal, provincial, and federal levels.
Brendan, why do you think we need an economic recovery task force?
From my perspective, Rob, I think it's pretty, it was very simple for me when Dan brought this up. Put simply, I mean, as you look around you and the people you know in business in Northumberland, none of us have ever been through anything like this before. There was no comparators of any kind. I mean, businesses just shut down, click overnight. You can't, you know, you got to self-isolate. Nobody had any idea how to deal with that. And then as we started to see the impact on individual businesses, somewhat different by sector, we very clearly realized that rather than wait to the point, maybe in the fall or whenever it might be, that we're over this, and then we go, oh my God, what help do we need now? If we started to be more proactive and start to contemplate with the business community, with community business leaders now, that we could make the county, could make it its state of preparedness to come out of this far more, would be more robust by the time we got to the fall.
Province is legislating its way out of the pandemic, though. And I mean, they're setting down the rules and the guidelines for public safety. Why not just, you know, as some business people might say, why not just let the market respond and let everyone find their own path?
So it's a great question. As a private sector guy, I mean, I've always been a student of let the market dictate where we're going. But I think in this situation, it was just so unusual, it had never been experienced before. We thought that if we could bring the local needs, very specific local needs, if they were different from other parts of the province, to the attention of our elected officials more quickly, that we could be part of the solution in helping our local economy recover more quickly.
Now, I understand that the task force has been gathering data. What did you collect and what did it tell you? Dan, maybe you could help us understand that part.
Certainly. The methodology that we used for this, Rob, was the task force has provided information from six working groups. These six working groups are representative of various sectors of the economy in Northumberland. Each working group had a co-chair, private sector co-chair, and then a public service or public employee representative. Once again, similar to my role, in order to provide support for the working group. The working groups were a cross section of the industry, and each one of those working groups met on three or four occasions collectively to try and determine a number of things: current state of affairs, most immediate needs, depending upon the sector. Some of the sectors were, long term for some of the sectors. Tourism would be a good example. Would be tomorrow, as opposed to 3 months down the road. What we found from that information gathering from those various sectoral groups, as it was fed up to the task force, the number of common themes. Certainly, in the early stages, there was a lot of commentary about, the initiatives to try and get people back to work as some of the restrictions started to lessen. But the overwhelming need for childcare, the personal protective equipment in terms of access, need, rapidity of delivery, the difficulties individuals had with working at home in terms of connectivity, the need to change how we do business, which, results in one of the other recommendations that have come forward, which is the whole drive to e-commerce. So, I guess what it did for us is it gave us tremendous insight into particular sectors, found some common themes, and provided us with some direction that was driven by the private sector.
Brennan, then maybe you could elaborate, though, in terms of, we've heard a lot about local businesses moving to social media and to online. How are business models changing from your perspective, and what are business people telling you about these changes?
So, just to give your listeners a sense of scale, too, of this effort, and just to get a sense of the community's involvement, there were 63 directly involved, 63 community business leaders, and in many of their individual cases, they reached out to their personal networks of X number of business friends. So the multiplier effect was quite significant. So a lot of what we brought back from the working groups to the task force was a very broad base of the business community. What in particular when it came to, let's just talk about the downtown / retail business environment for a minute. We did a survey of the business community, got a very significant respondent rate of over 600 people. And, they told us, when we asked them, do you plan to reduce the amount of shopping you do in local stores? 55% said yes. But then conversely, when we asked them, will you support local businesses by shopping on their website, over 60% said, of course we would. So the apparent need for many businesses to either move a presence online, if they don't have one, or to enhance their existing presence became immediately apparent. That was very early on in our conversations.
What do you see as being the role of innovation and creativity at this time? Maybe Brendan, we'll start with you.
I think we're coming out of this now, having listened to the business community. I think Dan and his group did a really good job, both in initiating the process, but in becoming the facilitators to action. So now that they've listened to the business community, the Entrepreneurship Center, for example, in Northumberland, one of Dan's colleagues, is facilitating meetings with chambers, BIAs, the municipalities across the county to try and accelerate our access to the provincial government programs that have been established to aid smaller businesses to get themselves online if they're not online already. And I think the combination of the business community validating and confirming the need for this, and then the county's workforce being the support and the facilitation to actually start to bring this to fruition, I think it's been a really powerful combination to this point.
Ben, how do you see the role of innovation and creativity at this time?
In a couple of different lights, I guess. One is, in order for us to initiate innovation, part of what we require is the necessary infrastructure to do so. When you look at the two major recommendations coming forward, or initial recommendations that came forward from the task force, you know, the need to assess where we are from a connectivity point of view and the need to know where we need to invest in order to initiate that innovation is an integral part. The other, you know, to add to what Brendan has just spoken about in terms of the small business community and the need to look at various applications or models for e-commerce. A large number of our small businesses will require some support or assistance as how to move towards the use of that type of technology. It's very, very simple to say that, well, what, do a website and get online. But for a number of our small businesses, that's a significant transformation in how they do business, and there will be a requirement for some handholding and some consistency, so that they feel comfortable going forward. Hearing what we heard, it's done a lot to try and give us some focus as to where we need to put our efforts in terms of the public service component to all of this. That, you know, innovation and change are probably synonymous. And in order to make that change effective, we need to take an ongoing role in trying to help facilitate that.
You released on June 5th three recommendations. The first was recognizing a broadband deficits. The second was the transition to online. And the third was to fuel consumer confidence. Can we just look at those? And could you just briefly summarize for me what each one of those means? And then maybe just a quick explanation. So broadband deficit, who would like to address that one?
I think we both would. I'll take a crack at it first.
Let the private sector speak.
Yeah, here. I think if there's one message to take away from all of the work of, as I said, an awful lot of business people and an awful lot of Northumberland County residents, is this whole issue of access to connectivity and how important it is. And let me give you a couple of examples. And some of it is coming from the task force, and some of it is coming from our collective general knowledge and that of your listeners. I mean, when you think about the changes that we've gone through to the point where now, think about the increased number of university students that are now taking their courses online and are in rural Northumberland County and don't have high-speed internet. They have to go somewhere else in the county to be able to take those courses. Think about manufacturing, which we heard loud and clear, has been a somewhat traditional business sector in that manufacturing happens on site. Well, people were sent home. So what they discovered was that both the sales, technical, and administrative roles and support in the manufacturing environment in many companies could in fact happen from home, except that they couldn't get online because they didn't have the high-speed internet to be able to do so. So when you add that, just take the manufacturing environment, when you add that to the fact that in the future we already know that to remain competitive, they're going to have access to high-speed to introduce things like artificial intelligence and robotics into their operations to be both domestically and internationally competitive. This is no longer a nice to have. This is a have to have. And I think what came out loud and clear from all of the business participants and our public sector colleagues, and indeed the warden. I mean, Warden Bob Sanderson was part of the task force as well. Is this is something we have to have, especially given our geographic proximity to the GTA. You know, you have the migration of people eastwards.
That's the broadband deficit, and I know that you've made a recommendation that be addressed. I understand that there's a plan to come out in August, and that should jumpstart this movement forward to get this addressed. Now, Dan, you addressed, and Brennan, you've also addressed to some extent the transition to online and the importance. So let's jump to the fuel consumer confidence recommendation. What's that about? And maybe Brennan, we'll talk with you first.
So what we heard loud and clear was, as the province has been explaining the need for social distancing and the sanitary, you know, rules and regulations they've put in place to protect both the workforce and the consumer. What we've heard from consumers and business owners is that there is a degree of confusion there, that people are still quite hesitant to enter a retail/business environment to buy because they don't know. In one store, somebody has masks on and there's hand sanitizer available. The next one, the staff don't have masks on. It's a hodgepodge. And what came out quite significantly from the working group was the need to fuel that consumer confidence by having a standard approach to this. So take that inconsistency and that somewhat confused approach out of the equation and start to bring in a requirement across the county that says we have to have standards. We have to have, masks, for example, in a retail environment. And we know that that is not necessarily solely the jurisdiction of the politicians. It also has to come from the medical officer of health. So there's a conversation that needs to be held at multiple levels to address this issue.
So that was one of the things that I was curious about. Actually, there were a couple of things, but that's one of them. It seemed in the recommendations that this was being downloaded for municipalities to decide on. Why isn't the county or some other body just coming out and saying, look, in Northumberland County, everybody's got to wear a mask? You know, and in Northumberland County, this is the way it's got to be in order to instill that consumer confidence. Why are we downloading it so that, you know, possibly one municipality will pass one type of legislation, another one, a different one, and then we end up with, you know, seven different regulations rather than one clear message, this is the way we want it. And maybe you could help me with that one.
Yeah, I think I can. Brendan and I are in front of County Council this morning to overview the recommendations. As I said earlier, because this was not a committee of council, it gave us a great degree of flexibility. I think that fulsome discussion as to what County Council wants to do is a decision that is probably before them, and they need to come to terms with that. I think that consistency for consumer confidence is extremely important, because if Northumberland can be considered a safe place to do life, you know, or normal life, under the sort of terms and conditions of you know, the consistency of retail outlets asking that all consumers or clients wear masks or whatever the protocols will be, is one way of restoring that consumer confidence. The decision has to come through county council. I can sense in some areas it may not be a popular decision, but then again, that's the role of the elected official.
One of the things that I noticed when you were talking about the transition to online is there's something that's been going around called Digital Main Street out of Toronto. And I know that in Port Hope that there's been an acceptance of this and the use of this program, also in Belleville and Trenton. And this is the one where business people can get free advice and free help and free support to get their business online. Is there any real reason that we're going to reinvent the wheel, or are we going to take advantage of those kinds of programs rather than having our homemade solution?
One of the things we recognized quite quickly is in addition to Digital Main Street, there's been maybe half a dozen other such platforms that are being touted out there through various sources. Our approach to this is that we're bringing together Chambers, DIA, and other participants, many of whom are looking at different types of platforms together. The end of this week to try and sort out what can work best in order to achieve our aim, which is primarily to create confidence in terms of the retail operator that there is a platform that works for them, and that collaboration that we're seeking is probably a key element in ensuring that if everybody's going to use Digital Main Street, that's great. If they need supports to do it, we may be the facilitator that finds those supports. If there are other alternatives, let's determine whether they work. But most importantly, our goal is to shift that retail environment to a coordinated on online e-commerce presence. So We're not looking for a hodgepodge. We're trying to make sure that element works in conjunction with consumer confidence, because in order to regain consumer confidence, what we don't need is technologies that don't work well.
Brendan, I see every sector is represented in this task force, but I do not see representation from workers or employee groups. Why is that?
I think initially what Dan put it well, was he wanted to hear from the community business leaders, the people who have money invested in their companies every day in the county, and to see how we collectively could move to a system, as I said, to come out of this in better shape than they would otherwise be. There has been significant worker participation at the individual company level. I'm thinking of one manufacturer in particular, who talked to us at length about the regular meetings they had with the workforce to, in many ways, help them figure out themselves how they would organize their workplace and feel safe in it, and, you know, flow information back up as to what additional PPE, for example, that they felt they needed. We did not have anybody directly, you're correct, but I think we had an awful lot of people indirectly.
Now, I understand that you're working on an overall strategic plan, that this first set of recommendations only represents part of the work that's being done. Can Dan, maybe you just quickly bring us up to speed as to where we're at in terms of the overall strategic plan, and when can we expect that to be coming forward?
I would hope we have something in terms of the final product by very early July. The task force is meeting tomorrow. We've also collected additional data and information from other sources, so we're trying to shape this as quickly as possible. And we're trying to lay it out in a timeline that makes sense. There is some urgency to a number of these activities especially the first two, Rob, with respect to connectivity, the county issued an RFP that closed on Friday. That part one of that RFP is to determine exactly what connectivity assets we have in order to then determine what else we need in order to move that initiative forward. We're anticipating that will be ready to go by the end of July, early August. We've just talked a lot about e-commerce, and there is an urgency to get people committed and facilitated to a choice of application and platform. So it's all a bit of a moving target, but maybe to use a phrase, time is of the essence for us. So this isn't something that'll I think appear in council in late fall. We're trying to move as quickly as possible on a number of these initiatives. Obviously, some will take some time, but what COVID has certainly done is expedited the need to fulfill some of those requirements.
Do you think there will be businesses that will not reopen? Yes or no, Brandon?
I think, unfortunately, there will be. I think that's the reality of the situation, and some of the requirements that we've had to bring in to protect the public at large, you and I, make some businesses that make their viability in question, simply because if you don't have as much square footage or as many seats as you had before, because of the need for social distancing, is a very mundane example, it may not be viable.
Dan, how would you describe the local economy right now?
I would say it's variable might be a really good way to describe it. There are certain sectors that were initially somewhat unaffected by the COVID impact as drastically as others. Certainly, the tourism industry, accommodation, hospitality is in dire straits. Micro and small business retail is very very much challenged. Other areas such as development, construction, manufacturing initially are still functioning well. It's this transformational shift of activity and how business is conducted. I mean, I don't have a figure for what we do not have in tourism revenues at this point in time, but I would imagine compared to 2019, 2020 will be bleak. Small business retail is definitely challenged. So it's tough in some sectors, and those two in particular are significant employer. So it'll be a challenge. So getting in the supports that are necessary to help try and move that transformation through are critical.
And then how about you? How would you describe the local economy?
I think Dan summed it up pretty well. I think, as he said, there are some sectors that told us that, you know, it's been status quo. We're okay. But I think there's another point that Dan touched on that's important, is that what this has done is accelerated the pace of change. There were many of these changes coming already that businesses were realizing they needed to embrace. And I think what this did, as I say, is accelerate the pace of the need for them to change. I think overall that given the components of the county economy, we will continue to feel it in 2020. I think what we had hoped and still hope that the task force will accomplish is to help us come out of this in a more resilient manner by 2021.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for your time today. I appreciate it immensely.
Thank you, Rob.
That was my conversation with Northumberland Economic Recovery Task Force co-chairs Brendan Kaneen and Dan Borowick. We're going to take a quick break. Up next, Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board Chairperson Diane Lloyd about what is happening with schools near you. Please stay tuned to Consider This on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.